In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stevens Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's time for your coolest conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Stevens Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and review. My guest today is Louis Cabezas. He's a guitarist in the Dolly Rocks. Their lineup also features fellow Underground Garage disc jockey Kelly Ogden. She's both the bass player and the lead vocalist. Well, they've got a new single out on Wicked Cool Records called Wrapped in Sunshine, and its release coincides with their summer tour. We'll hear a tad of the single now, followed by my chat with Louis on your coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock in Little Stevens Underground Garage. Manfred with you here in Little Stevens Underground Garage, and it is time for our coolest conversations. Today we get to chat some with Louis Cabezas, guitarist in the Dolly Rocks, and their latest single, Wrapped in Sunshine. It's out today on Wicked Cool Records, back with a cover of the Bonnie Tyler song, Holding Out for a Hero. In a week, they'll be starting on their summer tour dates, playing this month on the West Coast and then next month on the East Coast. Hey, Louis, how are you?
Hey, how's it going? I'm good.
You really are good. You got to be feeling good, right? Congrats on the new single.
Thank you. Yeah, we're excited about it. It's coming up soon. And I don't know. It's going to be summer soon, so we figured we'd have a summery song.
I was thinking maybe that was tying into it. Now, typically you guys work with this producer, John Fields. I know his studio's up in Minnesota. Is that the case with these songs or not?
Yeah, except we did it remotely this time. So we recorded everything and kind of engineered it all down here in Florida. Me and Kelly, we have a home studio. She has like her own little studio to do her radio show every morning. She has a radio show on Underground Garage, which people may or may not know, probably know. And then we also have a music studio where we do the band stuff. And so we did that at our studio here in Florida, and then we beamed the tracks up to Fields, and he helped us like kind of like flush them out and make them good, betterized. That's the word we use when we send it to Fields. He betterizes it.
So he has a betterometer, and he just kind of feeds the tracks through it, and it turns a big knob.
Yeah, it's the betterization process. Yeah,
right. You can maximize the betterness of it by turning the knob to the right, probably.
Right. He has a betterizing knob. Right. It's a button.
Yeah. He has to be careful though, because you remember that Far Side cartoon. He doesn't want to by accident hit the suck button.
Right. That
kind of negate the betterization of it all.
Yeah, that's exactly what his mixing board has. It's just two buttons. One of them is betterize, the other one is suck. But he always hits the betterize with us. It's good. He like brings the best out of us. So even working remotely, you know, we didn't go up to Minneapolis for this one, but we got the John Fields treatment. He's awesome. He's like our, you know, we say it all the time, but he's our George Martin. You know, he can tell when something needs to be, you know, just betterized.
Right. Well, so did, was there any insight with these tracks that you sent to him and he said, hey, you know, did you consider doing this or that?
You know, we've gotten better over the years in terms of not making him wince when he listens to something we do. You know, because there's some people that are just born with perfect pitch. You know, we just do what we feel, and you know, just gradually over time, it's just become a thing where we send them what we feel, and it's more and more. It requires less like refinement on his end. He's there to coach us along and make sure we don't do anything like badly, you know, just musically out of tune or just whatever, or timing. You know, I used to rush things a lot. I used to rush guitars a lot. Mm-hmm. I do that less now. Maybe I just have less nervous energy these days or something. And then Kelly, obviously, she's gained so much control over her voice over time. I think a lot of that has to do with the, you know, doing the radio show every day and, you know, just knowing how to use her vocal.
Let me ask this then. So you did these two songs. Are you working on a whole album, a new album?
You know what? Not yet. We just wanted to have something out for the summer that has just a fun feel to it. You know, we put out our most recent album came out last October. It's called Night Owls. It's on Wicked Cool Records. And you know, we are still touring on that record. We're proud of that record. We actually just put out a music video for one of the songs.
I was going to ask you about the Wee Trees or Tree Sweat, right? That's it. Yeah, I'm going to ask you about that.
We are still going hard for that record. Everything, our whole stage setup is still based on that record. And to us, you know, it's still a new album. We still have to play a lot of those songs live. You know, there's places that we haven't toured yet. Yeah. On that record, and so that's part of what we're doing this summer, you know, just kind of taking that album and playing it in new places.
All right, well, but specifically about like Wrapped in Sunshine, I still want to ask you about what the genesis of that tune is. I know you want to have something for the summer, but Wrapped in Sunshine, when did the idea for that one come together?
You know, this song, it came as a reverse process. So usually what you do is you write a song and then you eventually, you know, you have to put the song out. So you go and you get a photo shoot based on, you know, how the song makes you feel. And then you will name a tour after that photo shoot or after that song.
Right.
I'm confusing myself because everything came along in reverse for this one. So basically what happened was we had a photo shoot last summer in LA. It was similar to the tour we're doing right now. We did a West Coast tour. We landed in LA and we did a photo shoot with our, you know, main photog squeeze. You know, her name is Jen Rosenstein. She's awesome. You should look up her work. It's so good. We've been working with her for years and years and years. And she had an idea. She was like, look, why don't we just wrap you guys in cellophane and put you on like a you know, like a blue sky like background, and it'll just be this really cool idea. And we were like, what are you talking about? Okay, sure, we'll try your strange artistic photography idea. We just kind of had that photo, this series of photos lying around. We didn't do anything with them for like a year. And we were looking back through the photos and, you know, we were planning this tour for the summer and we were like, why don't we use these? These are interesting. They're kind of artistic. They're cool. And so we named the tour based on the photo. And then once we named the tour, this is like months ago, we were like, you know what? We should put out a single. So we decided to put out or write a song based on the name of the tour, based on the photo that we took. And that's this song.
Oh, cool.
So like so really the song is based on a photo that we took and named a tour for prior to writing the song. It was like a total reverse process.
So remember what the cover looks like. Where can somebody see one of these photos?
It's going to be on the cover of the 7-inch. So the 7-inch actually just got printed up. We just received our like first box of them in the mail, and we're going to have them on tour with us, and they look really cool. And you'll see the cover. It really looks like we're wrapped in sunshine because it's me and Kelly sitting there. It's kind of, it freaked out her mom. She's like, why are you wrapped in a plastic bag?
As a mom, her mom was concerned that Kelly may not be able to breathe.
Yeah, that was basically it. Yeah. So, I mean, if it freaked out her mom, that means we're doing something right, right? I mean, isn't that what rock and roll is all about, is freaking out your parents?
Yeah, right. There you go. The parents of all ages, you know.
Yeah.
So remember that. Remember that in another 5 years or 4 years or however long it is until your kids are properly in their teens, I guess.
Oh, they're already freaking me out. Yeah, I don't need plastic bags to. Yeah, they everything they do is like, oh, be careful. Oh, don't do that. Oh, can you? We're definitely in that phase right now.
So you mentioned being on Wicked Cool, and for some artists on, and this is a little Stevens label. So for some artists on his label, he's more immersed in their songwriting than others, but he still has to sign off on everybody's albums, and any coolest song has to meet his standards, of course. But still, he is more hands on with some of the label's artists than others. So where do you guys fit on that spectrum? Is he, because with us, I'm gonna tell you, with us, he's pretty hands off, but there are times when he wants a certain thing or this or that. But most of the time, he's pretty hands off. How does he fit with you guys?
He gives us latitude. I think it's more of a thing where he's there to mentor us if we need it or if we want it, like. We have worked with him in the past in the studio. You know, he has co-produced some stuff with us in the past, you know, other singles and things like that. At this point, we send stuff in, we'll send him demos. For this stuff, we didn't send him stuff. He's been busy. He's been out on the road with Bruce. He's always got a million things going on. And so, you know, he didn't inform this particular release, like in the way that he did some stuff from the past, but you know, we kind of consider his opinion, you know, his opinion is obviously, you know, super important, and he'll tell us if he doesn't like what we're doing. he has his hand on the pulse of pretty much everything that goes through the label.
So we'll
trust him to tell us if something isn't up to par, if it's not, you know, if it's not speaking to what, you know, what the label's all about.
So this album you mentioned, Night Owls, you're still touring on. It came out last fall, and you just recently made a video for one of the songs, "Trees Sway," on it. I guess maybe you've already answered this to a degree, but why make a video for a tune on an album from last year, about 6 months back? What was the impetus to do that now for that particular track?
I feel like we move in such a fast moving societal pace right now that, to me, like 6 months isn't really that long when you're talking about a record that took 3 years to make. So to me, that song's still new to a lot of people, and it's also a case for, like, you know, we're not Taylor Swift, like not everything we do is immediately broadcast to the world. Like, even as a small to mid-level artist, you know, you put something out there and you hope that your audience sees it. You could pay Facebook or whatever to blast your stuff all over the place, or, you know, pay for placements, or take your Google AdSense and try to, you know, get your stuff out there. But I think when we put something out, we hope that even a fraction of the people that, you know, care about us hear it. So, you kind of have to work your release. You can't just put your release out there and assume, you know, everyone's going to pay attention to it immediately. And so we are firmly of the mindset that if you put something out, you got to get out there, play the shows, keep, promoting that release, and, you know, don't think of yourself as a pop person. You know, you got to think of yourself as, like, this music should be timeless, number one. And if you're going to put it out, you got to be willing to go out there and, you know, play it. And that's the case with this song. You know, we feel like, let's have a time in the live set where we can do a cool acoustic ballad. And that's kind of what this song is. And it's out of character for us. You know, it's kind of like a different sort of vibe. Yeah. But I feel like it's also necessary. And it's a sign of maturity to be like, okay, let's do an acoustic thing. Let's do something different. You know, let's not just be a pop punk band.
And you guys do the show, do the song live in your set currently too, right?
Yeah, well, that's the plan. We haven't yet because Kelly, you know, we tried it a couple of times and Kelly had trouble getting through it because she just literally like burst into tears. I'm telling her to just, you know, just bite your lip and hopefully we can get through it. So yeah, it'll just be a way to break up the set. You know, our set's like a rock and roll set. Mm. Our set is a hard pounding, you know, when we get off the stage, we're drenched in sweat and, you know, we really like pound it out, but it'll just be Trees Sway is, you know, it's a departure from that. And so
why, so that there must be a lot of emotional baggage to the song. If she's, you know, getting choked up about it, can you describe what the song is about then?
Yeah. I mean, if you watch the video, you'll understand. The song is about, well, the song's kind of about reincarnation, but really the song is about always being able to come back to someone that you love, no matter how much time has passed. And so, you know, writing a song like that, being in the context of, you know, a band like ours, we're celebrating the 20th anniversary of our first record this year. And I've known Kelly since I was 12 years old. So, you know, we have a crazy long history together. And so just kind of summing the feeling of, you know, not only being partners with somebody for that long, but having a band this long and doing all this together and all these, you know, experiences and then having kids. I mean, try to sum that up in the context of a song. And that's kind of what that song's about for us.
So these West Coast dates, let me run down here. Starting June 14th at the Funhouse in Seattle, then on to Portland at the Twilight Cafe, Eugene, Oregon at John Henry's. In Sacramento, it's Harlow's, June the 18th, Bottom of the Hill in San Francisco, then the 19th, Full Circle in Fresno, the Echo in L.A. on the 20th, the Siren in Morro Bay, California on the 21st. I've got to look that up. I don't know where that is. 22nd, the Parish House of Blues, Anaheim, and then finishing on the 23rd, the Casbah in San Diego. So are any of these places that you haven't been to before?
You know, there are some that we haven't been to in years. We had not been to the Pacific Northwest in like, I don't know, 8 years, 7 years as of last year. So we went last year and it was awesome. So we decided we're going to go again because there's really nowhere better to go in the middle of the summer than the Pacific Northwest. It's going to be great. And so I don't think we haven't played Eugene in like 15 years. We haven't played Fresno in probably 10 years. Morro Bay's new. That's a new thing. And then, yeah, other than that, we've been to a lot of these places because it's California. It's kind of where our band began. So the genesis of our band was California. But, you know, it's good to mix in some new stuff and then go back to the familiar places. You know, L.A. is pretty much our spiritual hometown. And so we're looking forward to that one, too.
So those dates are on the 14th or the 23rd. You're going to have the kids with you for those shows?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's summer. Now, we have to structure everything travel-wise nowadays on their school schedule. So it's like, okay, the kids have that Monday off. Let's do a little weekender and, you know, wherever. So the kids will be with us. They'll be doing their thing. We give them the option. It's like, hey, you want to get on stage tonight? Sure. Or maybe they don't. I don't know. You might get lucky. You might get, you know, a River and Daisy yo-yo show / comedy show / I don't know. Daisy will rip some drums and then River will work the audience. Like, it's like a vaudeville act. You know, yeah. It's cool. It's fun.
Well, you know, I want to make sure they're earning their keep now.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're not paying them an appearance fee, but we are buying them sushi. It's like unlimited sushi, basically, is what they work for. So it's cool. They like
it. Well, that sounds a little fishy to me, but I mean, you guys seem like good parents. So I'll let
you're busting out the dad jokes, Manfred.
Because I'm speaking to you, brother. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you mentioned this earlier. Go back to it here for a second. Dolly Rod's fronted by your wife, Kelly Ogden. She's also a DJ here in the Underground Garage. And both of our bands, my band, the Woggles, and y'all's band, the Dolly Rots, are going to be playing on this Underground Garage cruise next year. That takes place like the 9th to the 13th, and it goes out from Miami to Nassau and back again. Have you ever been on a cruise?
We have, but we have not been, we have not played a rock and roll cruise before. And so that's been something that we've been looking to, you know, tick off our list. And so, yeah, the lineup for this cruise is insane. It's awesome. It's bands that we're fans of, but it's also bands that we're friends with. You know, there's going to be a lot of, you know, familiarity, and just, it's cool to have the station represented, and it's going to showcase not only like the taste of the station, but also, you know, the fact that the DJs do, you know, the DJs are picked for a reason. It's because, you know, it's true blue rock and roll, you know, there's rock and roll lineage there. It's going to be great. We're really excited about it.
Oh, I think you said that really well. So the, here, I'm running down some of the lineup here. Includes Social Distortion and X, Rocket from the Crypt, Reverend Horton Heat, Old 97s, Lost Straitjackets, the Flaming Groovies, Dictators, Chesterfield King, Super Suckers, Linda Gale Lewis, The Untamed Youth, Dick Dickerson, The Neanderthals, and then, you know, bands related to the DJs like The Woggles, The Dolly Rots, Flesh Tones, the Coolies, you know, Pal Morrison in that, Slim Jim Phantom Trio. So out of all these bands, who have you never seen before that you're really looking forward to checking out?
Oh, man. You know, I've been a Stray Cats fan since I was a kid. And, you know, that's Stray Cats' Greatest Hits was like my you know, part of the soundtrack to, you know, when I was a teenager, you know, driving around in my little Nissan Sentra listening to, you know, Sex Pistols and Stray Cats was basically it. And so yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Slim Jim play. Like we're like Slim Jim fans. It's like one of the greatest rock drummers ever. And so yeah, I can't wait to see him play. Super Suckers are just awesome. We've seen them a couple times. You know, it's just gonna be so good. I mean, to say nothing of, you know, the top of the lineup it's great. You know, X is like pure Los Angeles. You know, we saw them several times when we lived out in LA, and they just put on such a great show. And that's part of our soundtrack to living in LA. So, I mean, there are just so many things about that lineup that we're so excited to be a part of it. It's like,
well,
oh.
I want to ask you about the Slim Jim thing here. So you were listening to the Stray Cats, and what else? What was it you were listening to in the car?
Oh, me and
Sex
Kelly.
Pistols. Did you say Sex Pistols and the Stray Cats, or who did you say?
Yeah. So, you know, Sex
Pistols. Well, the reason I'm going on about that is because I was thinking, oh, was there a moment where instead of being going like a punk route that you wound up being a rockabilly band? Could that have happened or not?
I think, you know, I think rockabilly was just part of the musical lexicon that we appreciate and grew up with. Like I learning to play guitar, it's like, I mean, yeah, of course I played along to Nirvana, but I got myself a Brian Setzer guitar tab book to try and, you know, I mean, literally my guitar tab books, you know, whatever they are, what are they, like Hal Leonard or whatever, you know, those like tablature books. I had a Brian Setzer one, I had a Chuck Berry one, and then I had the Nirvana ones, and that was basically how I learned how to play guitar. So yeah, it's deeply embedded in our fabric. You know, rockabilly's awesome, and it's cool. It's endlessly, timelessly cool. So
well,
yeah,
there you go. Right, you were talking about rock and roll, trying to make music timeless rock and roll. There you go. All right, so let's focus here on the B-side to Wrapped in Sunshine. The B-side, the new single, cover of the Bonnie Tyler song Holding Out for a Hero. The original, I guess, yeah, it was on the Footloose soundtrack. Movie came out in 84. How old were you in 1984?
You know, I was the ripe old age of 4.
Okay. So did you ever watch the movie Footloose?
Oh man, it wasn't until way later. Like, yeah. Because I didn't grow up in a typical you know, household in terms of movie watching, because I was born in Ecuador, and so I was a, you know, first generation, you know, immigrant family situation. And my parents just never watched movies. So I didn't see any 80s movies until I was like in my 20s. And, you know, we kind of made a joke about it. Like, I didn't see Top Gun until I was like 30. So, yeah, Footloose wasn't really part of my growing up. It was kind of something that I saw later on. And yeah, that's this song was on the soundtrack, but we didn't really consider that when we were thinking about covering it. We actually covered it for an animated movie that's going to come out later this year. And we covered it, and it was like, okay, well, it'll just be for this movie, you know, whatever. And then it turned out that it really fit with the vibe of what could be a B-side to a summer single, because it's just kind of like, it's kind of dark and it's kind of weird. It's dance. It's like a dance vibe, like an 80s dance, like more dark vibe to what we usually do. So well, we just felt like
it changes the lyric from thinking her version, she's was waiting, he's waiting for a him, he and yeah. It sounds like it to me that Kelly is singing she. Is does that relate? Is that lyric change because of the animated program it's going to appear in?
It, you know, we didn't know that until afterwards. So we were asked to do this song, and it was actually for this animated movie that, you know, there's a guy named Stephen Shea, and he does our music videos. So he did a couple of music videos for us. One for In Your Face. It was on one of our previous Wicked Cool releases. And you know, we've worked with him in the past, and he said, okay, well, you know, I'm doing this movie. Do you guys want to do this song as a cover? And we said, are you sure? I don't know if this fits us. And so we did it, we recorded it, and Kelly naturally tries to turn, like when we do a cover, we try to turn it on its head, yeah, in a way, you know? And so she decided, you know what, I'm going to make this about female empowerment.
Yeah.
So, you know, the hero is a female protagonist. And so we did it, and then we turned it in. And the director, you know, Steven said, you know, this is actually perfect because the scene that this song is going to be used in is this action scene with this strong female protagonist. And you're like, dude, we totally accidentally did the right thing. So that's just the way it worked out. But, you know, Kelly will change lyrics in covers. You know, we do covers. We put out a whole, you know, record of covers recently. But you know, sometimes you get to the part where it's like she or he, and she'll just make it the opposite, and it just does a thing. You know, it's like, oh, she's singing to a girl now, or you know, that girl's now a guy. Like, but it turns it on its head. It makes it interesting sometimes.
Lewis, thanks for yammering with me today again on our Coolest Conversations.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me. It's always good talking to you, Manfred.
Oh, thanks. We're going to give a listen now to the Dollarites version of Holding Out for a Hero in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Of the Bonnie Tyler song Holding Out for a Hero, that was the Dollarots here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Their version is the B-side to their latest single, Wrapped in Sunshine, that's out on Wicked Cool Records. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's guitar player, Louis Cabezas, for joining me today.
Thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. New Jersey rocker Bobby Mahoney. He's got a debut album out now on Wikicool called Another Deadbeat Summer. It was engineered by Jeff Sanoff, the Grammy Award-winning producer, and he'll be my guest next time around to tell us all about it on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.